If you're a grandparent raising your grandchildren, you come to Sunday school to drop your kids off. Well, the other people who are dropping their kids off are the age of your own children. You know, so you don't really have a relationship link there, especially if the church is not really intergenerational in its culture. And then your own peers, you can't really have much socialization with them because you got grandkids now in the picture. They don't have babysitters they have to worry about, but you do. And many of those can't just bring in a typical teenager to sit with their kids, because those kids have some real issues that need people who know how to care for them in that process.
Welcome to Legacy Grandparenting, the podcast of the Legacy Coalition. I'm Wayne Rice, Conference Director for the Legacy Coalition, and I am joined by my co-host, John Colombe, who is the Director of Spiritual Development for the Legacy Coalition. Our special guest today is a pioneer of the Christian grandparenting movement, and he's also a very good friend of ours, Kevin Harper. And we're going to be talking with Kevin in just a moment. But first, John, do you have any words of wisdom for us?
Well, you know, I was thinking, Wayne, as we're talking to Kevin, he's the pioneer of this ministry way, way back. And I was just thinking, it's kind of weird being the same age as older people, like Kevin. But one of the things about Kevin is he has aged well. He has aged gracefully. And I was just thinking, some people are like milk, they get sour and chunky, but not Kevin. And you know, the wisdom is just to continue to grow old gracefully like Kevin Harper. Yeah.
Those are good.
I don't know, something's wrong with your mind there, John.
I know, I've been told that.
That's good.
Oh, you're hilarious.
I thought you might have some fishing wisdom for us today, because you went fishing last week.
Oh, my goodness. I had to learn a whole new culture. I was used to using a fishing pole, and they informed me it's a rod. I was used to calling it string, and they called it a line, and I called it a lure, and they said, no, it's a fly. And I was just all wrong. So the wisdom would be read up before you go fly fishing. And don't spit in the wind. but it was great.
Did you catch any fish?
I did. I got some 20-inchers, a couple of those, 19-incher. But the great thing was just being with 8 guys sharing life for about 4 days and being out of doors in God's wonderful creation and under the big sky at night looking at the marvelous things that God's put up there for us to notice that only He could do it. Yeah.
Well, an old fisherman once shared some words of wisdom with me. He said, no matter how fast the fish swims, he never sweats.
I never thought about that.
I've kept that sort of hidden in my heart ever since.
You guys have more wisdom than I have, I can tell you that.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, our special guest today is Kevin Harper, who is definitely a pioneer of the Christian grandparenting movement, as well as a charter staff member of the Legacy Coalition. He's a graduate of Baylor University, also Denver Theological Seminary. He was a pastor for 17 years before founding Elder Quest Ministries, which later became known as the Christian Grandparenting Network. He writes a weekly blog. He's authored several books, including Courageous Grandparenting, Building a Legacy Worth Outliving You, and his latest is a book called Raising Your Grandchildren, published by Bethany House as part of the Legacy Coalition's growing library of grandparenting resources. Kevin and his wife Diane are also the co-founders and creators of Grand Camps, a model for doing camps and retreats for grandparents and their grandkids together. Kevin and Diane have 2 daughters, 9 grandchildren, and they live in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Welcome to Legacy Grandparenting, Kevin. We want to talk to you a moment about some of the things I just mentioned, your work and your ministry. But first, we're going to ask you 10 questions that we call our Legacy Grandparenting podcast poll. And it's a quick way for our listeners to get to know you a little better. So, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Number one, first question, best book you've ever read? And you can...
Man, that's a hard one.
You can exclude the Bible here if you want.
Okay, thank you. All right, that would be the best for sure. That's a tough one. I narrowed it down to two, to be honest with you. I think one of the best was Francis Schaeffer's How Should We Then Live? And the other one was by C.S. Lewis called The Great Divorce.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah. By the way, in fiction, an old friend of all of us, Ward Tannenberg, I think, wrote one of the best fiction books, Redeeming Grace. And yeah, he's working on a sequel to that as well.
He's a prolific writer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Question number two is... can you describe a day in your life that you'd like to live over again? Maybe because it was so great, or maybe because you need a do-over, either one.
This one is both. I think the day I got married, I'd like to live that day over again, just because, I was 20 years old when we got married, and it was like... Yeah, talk about a novice, but I would like to be able to live that day over to express to my wife just how blessed I really was and really felt and could more accurately express to her what I should have expressed to her. Yeah.
I was just thinking, Kevin, it's really good to enter into marriage as a novice, though.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I know I was 20 years old as well, and my wife a little younger, and it was all just a blur, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you're just, you really have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
No, and I think to be able to savor some of those moments, yeah, that you just kind of rush through and instead, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Your favorite song when you were in high school? This will really date you.
Oh, man, yeah. So there were so many. I mean, I love Mamas and Papas, you know, California Dreamin'. I loved Association, you know, songs like Cherish. But, you know, I think I was thinking back on this. I think my favorite song during that time was by a guy named Sergeant Barry Sadler, The Ballad of the Green Beret. You guys remember that song?
No.
Oh, I do.
No?
Yeah. Oh, oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, it was real turbulent times, you know, in the 60s, you know, with the war and everything. And I don't know. I just resonated with that song, and I just sing it over silver wings up on their chest, you know, kind of thing. I loved it.
What was his name?
But, Barry Sadler, Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler, sang The Ballad of the Green Beret.
We'll test today, but only three.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, back in those days, the incredible variety, you know, that could make it to the top of the Billboard top 100 or whatever. Today, not so much, you know, but...
No. But yeah, all the way from, what was it, Somewhere My Love from Dr. Zhivago to Mamas and the Papas to, you know...
Elvis and guys. The Beatles. Yeah.
And the Beatles. Oh, yeah, the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, you could have, you know, country songs, you know, Johnny Cash along with, you know, all the bebop and everything else that was out at that time. Yeah. All right, Kevin, best pizza is found where?
You know, I'm not a deep dish pizza fan, but the best pizza I think I ever had was in Chicago at Gino's.
Yeah.
They're famous for their deep dish pizza. It was phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not the first to mention Gino's. Great. Well, how about a hobby or an outside interest that you really enjoy?
Well, I used to be a model railroader, believe it or not, but gave that up a number of years ago when we moved, and I had to sell off everything, but I never went back to it. So now I think gardening and landscaping is my hobby. You know, it's what I love to do. That's how I like to spend my time when I'm not doing other things.
Do you name the weeds as you pull them?
I curse the weeds as I pull them. Yes.
You don't put people's names on those as you pull them.
I could do that. I'll have to try that, John.
No.
Now, in Colorado Springs, is landscaping just a part of the year kind of hobby, or can
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty much summer, fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, in California, we can do landscaping pretty
much.
Yeah,
I know. You guys are blessed there, don't they?
Well, but it requires...
Well, my landscaping in the wintertime is shoveling the sidewalk.
Well, and our landscaping without water is dirt.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Kevin, somebody who had a big influence on you that you'd like to single out.
I could narrow this to one, so I really have to mention two people. One is my dad. He was a huge influence in my life. We just buried him this past year. He was 96, now almost 97 years old. The other was like a dad to me. His name was Bob Frederick. He was the pastor I served under for 12 years, and one of the most amazing men I've ever been around. He was a mentor, like a father to me. He salvaged my stupidity into something productive. You know, he was just an amazing guy. And I remember at his funeral, all of his kids and grandkids getting up and talking about the amazing influence that he had in their lives. And one grandchild stood up and said, "Well, I think I could summarize everything everybody's just said about poppies." That's what they called him. And that is, poppies smelled like Jesus, and that's why we want to smell like him too.
Wow.
And that was really his life. That was really his life. Yeah.
Sweet aroma.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Poppy, what do your grandkids call you?
Papa.
Papa.
They all call me Papa. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty common one. Anything left on your bucket list, or do you have a bucket list? You know, things you would like to do.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that I would really like to do, we had hoped to do this year and then had to cancel it, is I would love to take a trip with my daughters and their spouses to Ireland, because that's where a lot of our roots are. And I've never been to Ireland, been to England and Scotland, but never Ireland. I'd love to take them with us and go to Ireland.
That's a good one. Kevin, your favorite Bible verse?
So, my favorite book is probably the book of Ephesians. And out of that, you know, I love this, you know, when Paul talks about that we were objects of God's wrath. But then he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. So that's Ephesians 2:4, which leads into the ones that everybody knows, you know, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So that whole passage right there is just my favorite. It's just such an expression of God's passion and love for us. Yeah.
That's great. Well, now everybody knows you a lot better. Because we've completed the podcast poll. Well, we got a few other questions for you, and John, you can jump in here anytime. I'm going to start with a couple, but Kevin, you know, I mentioned that you're a pioneer in the Christian grandparenting movement, and you are. I know back in before the Legacy Coalition, I was trying to teach a class on grandparenting here at my church, and I really couldn't find any resources, and I started looking around, and I did find the Christian Grandparenting Network. When and how did you get started helping grandparents become more intentional about their grandparenting role? What led you to do that?
I think becoming a grandparent was the first part of that. And secondly, we were running a Christian retreat center at the time, and I had this burden for my generation, the boomers, you know, about how we were going to spend the rest of our lives. Were we going to waste it, or were we going to use it productively? And so I really started this ElderQuest ministry with the intention of really targeting boomers and challenging us to think through what we're going to do to spend our life for the kingdom. And then we became a grandparent, and I realized, whoa, one of the most important things I need to know and do is this thing called grandparenting. And I started kind of checking around and saying, does anybody have any resources or help out there to help us understand how we could talk to the boomer generation about being grandparents? And, you know, I lived in Colorado, you know, and there were groups like Focus on the Family and, you know, lots of other ministries there, and nobody seemed to have any answers for me. Nobody was really talking about it. I talked to a lot of pastors, including my own at the time, and he kind of looked at me, said, well, just love them, you know. Or people would say, you know the tripart thing, you know, spoil them, fill them up with sugar, and send them home. That was kind of it, you know.
Yeah.
So Diane and I felt like there was more to this that we needed to know, so we began just digging in the scriptures and said, hey, you know, God has a lot to say about this. Why don't we got a retreat center. Why don't we ask some grandparents to come together, and let's just bring their kids, grandkids with them, and let's just kind of make this a laboratory for exploring what does it mean to be a biblical grandparent in today's world, and put some things into practice. I ended up calling it Grand Camps. And so that's what we started. That's all we ever intended to do, by the way, was just hold these Grand Camps at the retreat center that we were at. And then God just began doing more and more. Another guy challenged me, well, you need to write a book about what you're doing at these grand camps, what you've learned. And so that's where Courageous Grandparenting came from. But it all sprung from that desire just to say, somebody has to start talking about this, because there's just not much out there. I mean, Jay Kessler had a book out there, and the Kimmels had a book out there, but that was it. And so we were just wanting to explore. We really never intend to start a ministry. We just wanted to get grandparents together and talk about it and figure out how to do this together. And it just kept growing from there.
And, you know, I recall when we joined you out there in Minneapolis, and then we did something there in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, we did two with in Colorado Springs.
That's right. And it still hadn't caught on. They, you know, you couldn't have promoted it any better, but the people still didn't get it. It was like, I remember running a camp, a weekend retreat with Kessler. We only had 30 people come because they didn't realize, until we discovered, okay, the scripture's going to have to be the authority here and the vision caster. And,
right.
And I think right. That was, but boy, you did a yeoman's job, Cabinet, plowing the ground and spreading seed.
Yeah, that Minnesota conference that we did together, John, Jay Kessler was supposed to be there. Do you remember that?
Right.
And we had to cancel him because we just didn't have the people show up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you still never got paid.
Well, it's a head in the vault up there. No. No. And we're still not getting paid. But we are getting paid in other dividends. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a great ministry.
Yeah, Josh Mulvihill, we just talked to him in a podcast just a couple of weeks ago, and he cited you as being a pretty big influence on him as he was doing all the research that he was doing on grandparenting, especially biblical grandparenting. Had you already done a lot of research scripturally, compiling? Because I know Josh has put together this long list of scripture where grandparenting is mentioned, or scripture on
Children's children, that type of thing.
So we had
tried to find all of the scriptures that we could that seemed to have some relationship to grandparenting. So, you know, all the things from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 11, and you've got the Psalm 78, of course, was the core one, and Psalm 72 and Psalm 92, Psalm 71, Psalm 92. All of those passages of scripture we had been, those are the things we had been focusing on in Grand Camp. And so that became a big part of it. But I think with Josh, he dug deeper than we did. And that was where I learned so much about, you know, what the scriptures really had to say after I met Josh. and began seeing what he was doing with his doctoral dissertation. He dug really deep into that stuff and came up with some stuff I hadn't even thought about. Yeah.
And then did the original research with actual grandparents to give us some stats.
Yeah, he did that. I was not a research person. I was just, practitioner.
Yeah. Now, for a long time, you were kind of the only game in town, when it came to Christian grandparenting. And then along comes Larry Fowler, and Larry, about around 2015 or so, Larry came along with this idea about starting the Legacy Coalition. And you were on board there in the early years. How did all that make you feel? Now, somebody else is coming along and...
Yeah, I was pretty excited. I mean, so I met Larry the first time at our church in Colorado Springs because he was there as an Awana representative, and he was pretty pumped. This would have been 2014 or maybe even 13. He was already pretty pumped about this grandparenting thing and wanting to take Awana into this whole arena. And so as he was talking about it, some of the staff there at our church said, "Well, have you ever met Calvin Harper? He has a ministry for grandparenting." And he said, "No, I never heard of him." So we were introduced there. Where we first met.
You need a publicist,
Yes, that's right. I wasn't even thinking about promoting our ministry that much. I was just doing it, And so Larry came along, and that was a radical change in terms of things really exploding in our country, with awareness of grandparenting.
I'd be interested to know, as we sat around that table, we had 48 hours together, what went through your mind as you saw this thing just beginning to gel and connect? That must have been a thrill for you.
It was more than a thrill. It was just like, wow, God, you're doing something I could not even have imagined was going to, could possibly happen. I mean, this is just incredible to be around all of these people who were passionate about this thing. I had no idea that there were people like that out there. So it was just like a kid in a candy store for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, you've run the Christian Grandparenting Network for quite a few years, but recently you handed off the leadership of that organization to a volunteer who had been working with your organization, Sherry Schumann.
Right.
And we know
right.
Sherry. She was also very helpful as we got the Legacy Coalition off the ground. And you're now back doing ElderQuest ministries full-time.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. How did all that happen, and what are you doing now with ElderQuest? What are the goals and objectives?
Yeah, so we're kind of circled back to the beginning of coming back to my generation, our generation, the boomers and older and now Gen Xers who are coming into that scene, to say, hey, what are you doing with your life that's making a difference? I mean, are we going to spend our lives on ourselves, or are we going to spend ourselves for the next generations that are coming behind us so that they might know Christ and know the truth and walk in it? So our focus right now is in two areas. One, as you mentioned earlier, is grandparents raising grandkids. But the biggest part of what we're doing is this whole thing of challenging our generation and the church to be more intentional about creating intergenerational relationships where we're engaging with the next generation. We're not sitting out just mixing with our own kind, but we're really saying, in my old age, as the psalmist says in Psalm 71, even in my old age, Lord, I want to proclaim your greatness to the next generation. And so that's what we're focused on now, is just helping churches and individuals be more intentional about how they're spending their life in these last years, what Ward Tannenberg calls the third stage of life, and just being able to say, let's figure out what it is God wants us to do. How do we impact the next generation? And I've had a ball with this thing. I've been involved now for I'm going on my third year with our student ministries. We had so many boys in seventh and eighth grade. Now moving on to ninth grade, started out with 15, and by the time we got to ninth grade, we found we had 30 plus boys. And we've had to divide it into smaller groups now so that we can really have those relationships. But being able to interact with these guys as they're moving now into high school and just be a part of their lives has been one of the greatest joys of my life. And I want more people to have those kinds of experiences. They don't have to get involved in a youth ministry, but let's connect. Let's connect with the generations, and let's find ways to do that meaningfully. I just had a focus group that we just did with a group of teens, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and 60-plus, where we wanted to talk about what are the obstacles to our relationships? What's the obstacles that keep us from having those kinds of relationships? And then what are some solutions that we can begin to put into place? And what was exciting to me was to hear the teens say, we want relationships with older people, but we're always just stuck in our own group. Everything we do is just with our own age groups. We would like to be part of community groups with the older adults. We'd like to be a part of some kind of meaningful relationship engagement with older people. So they were the first ones to say, we want this. And yet most of us have our fears about doing that.
Yeah, it's been my experience as well. I was a generations pastor at a church where we were trying to connect, the various generations in the church. And usually the pushback always came from the older people, not the young people. The kids were excited about being able to be involved with some of the programs that were going on at the church that involved the older people. They wanted to be
in
the
same
room.
That's really true.
The sad thing for me was that it was a lot of the older people who really needed some education. They really needed to be moved by God in a very, in a way that they hadn't been before, because they'd become very stuck on their own way of doing things, their own preferences. They were kind of annoyed by a lot of what they were seeing with the younger generation, so they didn't want them around, and it was very frustrating. But I've always said the teenagers, left to their own devices, will always gravitate to the oldest person they can find who will take them seriously and treat them with dignity and respect. And that is still true.
It is true. And I know the Legacy Coalition had Tony Sauter on the Grand Monday Night Out, and Tony's Pray for Me campaign is such an easy way for the older generations to engage with the younger generations. Just to have a teenager say, "Will you pray for me?" and for us to be able to do that and respond to that. So there are ways that it can happen, but you're absolutely right. The older generations seem to be the most reluctant. And, look, I get it. I mean, we aren't as spry as we once were, nor do we dress the way they dress, think the way they think, listen to the music that they listen to. So we need to be able to step into their world a little bit. I remember, John, you probably remember this. There was a CASA conference down in Texas several years ago, and Jill Briscoe was there.
Yep.
And do you remember the story that Jill told about the young woman that had come into their church, and she spotted her right away, recognized that she was new, and she went right up to her and introduced herself and began a conversation with her and invited her out for a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. That cup of coffee turned into, I think, a weekly meeting that they got together over coffee. And I remember Jill saying that when that gal finally had to move on, and go somewhere else. She brought a card to her in their final meeting that, and basically just expressed to her in that card, I remember this, because you listened to me, I learned to trust you.
Yes.
And because I trusted you, I was willing to hear what you had to say.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Ray and Ann Ortland had a regular practice of each taking five young men or five young women and spending a year with them. They had some expectations, but the expectation was, when we're done here, then you do the same. And that mentoring, and you have to work with the youth staff. I mean, when we were at Fullerton, we did a Wednesday night, and I brought in 25 of our sharpest older adults, and some of them were in their 90s, and put them with 10 kids each, and those relationships began to flourish and bloom. And we had fun together. We had listened to the kids sing and entered into it, even though we couldn't understand the words and it was hurting our ears. And we told the people, right, don't react, just enter in. And they discovered these kids love the Lord. And it was a natural bonding. So yeah. I think that may be your next book, Kevin, just kind of a how-to.
Well, that's what we are working on right now. I'm working, so one of my board members is 22 years old, and I'm working with Sarah to put out together an outline of what would that kind of thing look like.
Excellent.
And so, yeah, we'll see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
Can you have that out in 3 weeks?
Yeah, but it won't be any good.
Yeah. No, that's a real cutting edge area of growth for the church right now, is the whole intergenerational piece, because it seems like we just have real extremes right now. I mean, a lot of churches are just deciding to target nothing but, say, millennials, and then they alienate just about every other age group in the process. And then there are others who are really talking about, how do we do this in a more healthy, biblical way, and be intergenerational, and they're not really sure what to do. You know, I think it's not easy. I've tried it at my church. You know, for years I talked about it, and then God gave me a position where He said, "Okay, big mouth, get to work. Let's see what you can do." And I discovered it's really, really hard.
So, it is hard. Yeah. It is hard. I mean, you're absolutely right. This is not easy, but the enemy's having a field day with this.
Yeah.
Because the body of Christ is all the generations doing life together. And it's like my friend Chuck Stecker was saying the other day. I was talking to Chuck, and he said, you know, we have a lot of confusion in the church today about the difference between cross-generational, which is really more of a marketing scheme, is how did we get all people from different generations to come in and be part of our events. Multi-generational, which is butts in the seat. How do we get people to sit together in church? But there's almost no relationship that goes on between the generations. And intergenerational, which is doing life together. And he would say the church is an abysmal failure when it comes to doing life together with all the generations. And the church has got to step back and say, Lord, this isn't how your body ought to be operating. What do we need to do? And I'm grateful that my church, at least, is taking steps in that direction.
That's great.
I hope many others will, too.
Well, you know, one of the greatest barriers is the kids think we don't like them because we don't like their looks, we don't like their music, and so forth.
And that's partly true.
And yet we're bored with our own kind. Old people, same old stories. And we're critical. And I think that when we start intergenerating, there's new life that is spawned. And you've nailed it. It's an important thing.
Well, it's easy to talk about it, but like Wayne says, it's a whole other thing to make it happen.
Well, maybe that book should be done in 2 weeks.
Okay, Wayne, and I are going at it.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, last year you wrote a book for the Legacy Coalition called Raising Your Grandchildren, and the subtitle is Encouragement and Guidance for those parenting their children's children. This is a big issue, I think, for grandparents today. It's like a growing demographic group, actually, grandparents who are raising their grandkids. There's a lot we could talk about here, but let me just ask you one question. What would you say is the biggest challenge facing grandparents who are raising their grandkids today?
I want to say two things. One is dealing with guilt and shame, and the other is feeling like they belong or they should belong to the church family, and that's related to the guilt and shame. So there's the problem of dealing with the fact that I must be a failure because my kids, I mean, let's face it, 40%, and it's probably closer to 50% now, of the grandparents who are raising their grandchildren is because they've had adult children who've gotten involved in the drug scene, opioids, and fentanyl and all of that kind of stuff. So there's that sense of shame that somehow we failed as parents, and so now our grandchildren are paying the price. And getting past that to recognize that, you know, if there's things that you do need to confess as a parent, do it. Take care of that. Deal with that right now. But then recognize your children make their own decisions. And in the best of situations, you can have two children in the best of families come out totally different, make totally different choices in their life. So it's not just about parenting, but that's not to negate. We all know that our parenting and grandparenting is important because it's influences that God wants in a child's life. But we have to get to the place of really God is the father of lots of wayward children. And, you know, so it's choices that we have to make. And so to help them get past that and then to recognize they need the body of Christ. Don't hide yourself, but reach out, make some noise if you have to, but be able to say, I need to be a part of this family of God, because I am a part of this family of God.
Yeah.
And so those are the two big issues to me, and a lot of that relates to the guilt and shame, an inaccurate understanding of who God is and how much he loves us. So it's a theological issue. It's not just an emotional issue.
Yeah. So it's, but there's both a personal side, just in how we, as grandparents, you know, it affects just how we think about ourselves and our own worth and so forth. But then there's also the whole issue of a support system that a lot of grandparents who are raising their grandkids feel pretty isolated and alone.
They do
as well.
And part of that, I think, is because the church body itself has not done a good job of recognizing that these people even exist. They may not even know they exist. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, they just assume everything's okay. Instead of reaching out and saying, I want to be somehow an encouragement and a support to you. How can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, would begin with church leadership took the lead and said, hey, you know, this is some of the least of these that God wants us to reach out to. So let's reach out with Christ's hands and feet and invite them into where they belong. They belong with us, and let's help them. Because, look, if you're a grandparent raising your grandchildren, you come to Sunday school to drop your kids off. Well, the other people who are dropping their kids off are the age of your own children. You know, so you don't really have a relationship link there, especially if the church is not really intergenerational in its culture. And then your own peers, you can't really have much socialization with them because you got grandkids now in the picture. They don't have babysitters they have to worry about, but you do. And many of those can't just bring in a typical teenager to sit with their kids because those kids have some real issues that need people who know how to care for them in that process. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know when I was working with students, I pretty much overlooked the fact that some of our kids were not living with their parents. They were living with their grandparents. And as I look back, we did very little to reach out to those grandparents because they just seemed like odd, you know, sort of the outlier kind of situation that wasn't very common. But today it's quite common. And
much more so.
And it would seem that the churches need to be a lot more intentional about providing help, resources, yeah, and support for grandparents.
And I think we could learn. I think we could learn some things in that area from inner city churches who've been doing this for decades.
Yeah,
you know, how do you really engage and incorporate them into that fellowship? We could learn a lot from many of these inner city churches that have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, let me talk just before, you know, you mentioned the grand camps that kind of got your whole ministry really off the ground. They're becoming a lot more of a big thing. I keep hearing more and more about some of the established Christian camps these days that are starting to do grand camps or something like that.
And, something like it, yeah.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about your history with the grand camps and how do they work? You know, what happens at a grand camp that is worth doing?
Yeah. Well, the big thing is mom and dad aren't in the picture. So, so it's just grandma and the kids, grandma and grandpa and the kids. And it's an opportunity. I mean, look, the camp, as I mentioned earlier, it was intended and designed to be a laboratory for putting into practice what God says grandparenting is all about in that kind of, you know, concentrated time with your grandkids. So when they come to camp, there's a theme that they're building upon, everything. There's scripture memorization. There's Bible lessons. There's worship time. There's lots of fun and game activities, free time, even with grandma and grandpa, sitting around the campfire and processing at night kind of what we had been doing throughout the day. And then family time, where grandma and grandpa and the kids have devotions together in their cabin or rooms, whatever they have, where they really, again, process what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And how do I put into practice the things we're talking about at camp this week as a child and as a grandma and grandpa? And then the whole camp, you know, concludes, and we've been preparing grandparents for this prior to even coming to camp, at least with grand camps, to be able to share a blessing, a spoken blessing over your children. And so every grand camp concludes with a blessing ceremony, where we have a chance to share together in the blessings that we share with our grandkids. And it's a really special time. So, there's nothing magical about it, and there's lots of people doing variations of what we do at grand camp, and boy, I hope we see hundreds of these things happen around the country, whether they're called grand camp or they're called cousins camp or whatever. Yeah, you know, I hope more and more people are doing this. Some are doing it like John and Jackie have done for years. They've done their own version, just with their own family. Many are doing that around the country as well. But the point is, grandparents getting together with some really intentional time with their grandchildren, not just to have fun. Yeah, we have plenty of fun. But to really dig into what does it mean to be a follower of the Christ? Why is the Bible true? Why can I believe this book when all my friends say it's just a fairy tale? Those are the kinds of questions we need to deal with our grandkids, and those are the kinds of questions that we try to help grandparents learn to deal with their grandchildren, encouraging them to ask the hard questions and then be prepared to help them find the answers to those questions.
And you do have the curriculum on that, don't you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, as we kind of wrap things up, why don't you tell us a little bit about where people can access some of your resources? so that they can learn how to do grand camp, so that they can learn how to do intergenerational ministry, so they can learn how to help grandparents who are raising their grandkids. You're involved in so much, and you've put some great resources out there. How do people access all of that?
Well, let's start with Grand Camps. Grand Camps are part of the Christian Grandparenting Network's ministry. So go to christiangrandparenting.com, and you can find information there and resources. Or you can go straight to grandcamps.org and find information about the Grand Camps that CGN is sponsoring around the country and in Canada. As far as my ministry, my website is elderquestmin.com, and you can find information about the grandparents raising grandkids. You can find about courageous grandparenting seminars. You can find about the intergenerational stuff that we're doing, the Rachel Project that right now is going on, and of course the book Raising Your Grandkids is on the Legacy Coalition website because it's part of your book series there.
Yeah.
So there's lots of places to go, which is what's exciting to me about this, Wayne and John, is now there's not just one place to go. There's lots of places to go to find resources. So, it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, let me just, as we wrap things up, remind everybody that we also have a great conference coming up this October. And just to be clear, Kevin, you were invited, to come.
Yes, I was.
So
I was.
In case people say, how come you didn't invite Kevin Harper?
Well, I'm helping with one of our host sites here.
I know. Right. And you told us that and that you'd rather do that. And so kudos to you for doing that. And we're so grateful. But we do have a summit conference coming up in October, and the speakers that we do have this year include Jim Burns, Ann Graham Lotz, Tim and Darcy Kimmel, Miles McPherson, John Stone Street, Rob Reno, Michelle Anthony, Gordon McDonald. You know Gordon, don't you, Kevin?
I do. Yeah, I knew his brother, too.
Crawford Loritz, and many more. So mark the dates on your calendar and register now. Just go to legacycoalition.com/summit. The dates are October 20th and 21st, and you can join us either at Crosswater Church in Pontevedra Beach near Jacksonville, Florida, or in Colorado Springs, or at a simulcast location near you. Details are on the website. Again, that's legacycoalition.com/summit. So anything else, John, that we need to mention here before we
It's just been great hanging out with you, Kevin, and catching up.
You too, guys.
We do bless you, and they're looking forward to your book in 2 weeks. That's great.
Okay, I'll send you the manuscript, all right?
It's time to plow, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, absolutely. There's some things. I've just been kind of getting lazy here lately.
We just don't get sour and cranky.
Thanks again to Kevin Harper for being our guest today. And that wraps up Legacy Grandparenting, the podcast of the Legacy Coalition. Until next time, this is Wayne Rice, John Colombe, saying so long and praying that you have a great week of intentional Christian grandparenting.